Hello and welcome back to Reading of the Peers, where we chat about and discuss all sorts of movies. My name is Gary O'Brien, and joining me as always for the monthly recaps, it's the one and only David Scanlon. Today we're talking about the latest releases of April 2024, so stick around, we hope you enjoy. David, hello, you're back. Well, movies, David.
April.
April movies. That's what we're here to talk about.
I might have checked, actually. Still a few more days left.
It'll come out. See, okay. So this is first of all, it's gonna be a loose one.
Loose goose.
It's being recorded on a Monday. It's Monday Movie Madness.
Yeah.
Will this come out on Tuesday? If this comes out tomorrow, if this comes out the 30th of April, don't talk to me. I've gotten very little sleep.
Is there anything I can do to help?
David, just be your normal charming self.
No, not the podcasting, just in general. Just generally in life.
Can you help me move?
Move.
All my belongings.
To?
Your house. I want to live with you, David.
Okay, class.
Can I live under your stairs like a little Harry Potter?
I'll do my best.
Okay, thank you. But yeah, anyone who hasn't listened to these before, hello, welcome.
You'll get the gist.
We talk about all the movies that came out last month. There's time codes.
Or this month.
Or this month. Yeah. My brain's broken. I've done a full day in the office. We went to the... Oh, yeah, this is the loosest one because I've done a full day in the office on a Monday, David.
Yeah.
Went in. Then we went straight to the cinema.
Yeah.
We watched a very sad Irish movie for 2 hours. Yeah. And now we're recording a podcast.
I think what's even worse is I haven't gone for a run today, so I'm just full of energy.
This is great. And do you know what? Believe it or not, I haven't gone for a run either, David. Wow.
Solidarity, bro. Yeah. Solidarity.
Not run until you can run, brother. And yeah, so there's time codes if people want to jump around.
Cool.
But don't jump around. David has a bad knee and that's rude.
Yeah.
Cool. You can get in contact with the podcast with the Spotify Q&A, the YouTube comment section, or the email readingofthepeers@gmail.com. But the movies we're going to be talking about is Civil War, Abigail, what is it called again? That They May Face the Rising Sun, Monkey Man, and Challengers, David. And we're also going to be talking about what's coming out next month.
Sounds good.
Good month?
Mixed month.
I think it's a solid month.
You like some things more than I do.
Yeah. Which is unusual, because I hate movies.
Yeah, you notoriously hate movies. No, it was a solid. We should check and see, like, how much better was... compare month to month on a year-to-year basis.
David, I have it here. Oh, wait, yeah. No, hold on. So, what did you give Abigail? Three stars?
3.5.
3.5? Yeah. Challengers, 3.5?
Yeah.
Okay, one sec.
And then what I would say is there was a lot of stuff this month which was fairly unique.
Yeah.
And we'll get to it, but...
Okay, hot take. What are you giving the Sun movie, Rising Sun?
See, in a...
Hot take, right now.
Three.
Three. Okay, I'll give it three as well, let's say. So, this is your second highest month. You gave the movies of January an average of 3.6 stars, and March of this month, April, 3.4 stars. But it's better than last month, which you had an average of 2.8. We're doing stats on the podcast today, ladies and gentlemen.
No, but I was going to say, compare that to this time last year.
David, I'm so glad you asked, because I have those stats available if we need it. So April last year, your average was 3 stars.
So this is
It's an improvement on April last month.
Good job, Hollywood.
Good job, Gary, keeping these stats ready.
I will say, January is a tough month to beat.
Yeah, because that's because we always get the Oscar movies. So yeah. It is cheating.
So yeah, in terms of normal months, this is the best.
Yep. That was a normal month. But right, is there anything else we do before we start this? I can't remember. When was the last time we did one of these? A while ago? Who knows?
It's been so long.
So this is loose. Right, okay, we're going to start with Civil War, David.
Okay.
This is your one.
Civil War?
Yeah.
We're not fighting, Gary. We're all right, are we?
David, I wouldn't fight you, David. You're going to help me move.
So Civil War is the story of a modern day American Civil War where the states of Texas and California have joined together and have decided to take up arms against the American government, where a sitting president has decided to stay on for an extra long term. The third term. And we follow Kirsten Dunst, Kaylee Spaney,
Wagner Moura,
and Stephen
McKinley Henderson
on a road trip from New York to Washington, D.C., but they can't go directly there because there's a war going on, so they have to kind of go cross country, and we encounter what exactly is going on through the eyes of photojournalists experiencing this civil war.
Mm. Directed by
Alex Garland, written by Alex Garland as well. He has said this will probably be his last director movie,
which is always you want to hear.
Yeah, it's imagine it's getting
the,
one.
Imagine sitting there in the restaurant of chef going and be like, "That's the last meal I'm cooking." You're like, "Yum."
He's either off to prison or he's he's gonna die. Yeah. So it is an interesting take. Yeah. I will say it for anyone going into the film. I think they probably would have liked to have seen the movie lean one end of the political spectrum or the other. And the movie doesn't do that. The movie kind of stays as straight and narrow as possible. Keeps things kind of vague, which I kind of appreciate what he was going for. Like, he doesn't want to turn this into some sort of, what would you say, political or media kind of agenda type movie.
Yep.
Which I like. But also, I think the other thing is he uses it from the photojournalist point of view to kind of make it as straight and down the middle as possible. Like, they're not there to help one side or the other. They're not there to get involved. They're just there to
get some pics,
track the progress of what is going on and what's happening kind of on front lines and stuff. From a personal perspective, I was a little bit disappointed because I was one of those people who was kind of going in with the expectation to see maybe a bit of more of a backstory of what happened. How did this war happen? Now, what I will say is he does a good job of kind of just sprinkling in little bits and pieces that you can kind of make out maybe as some sort of a little timeline of what's kind of happened, what went on to kind of crank the fire of this war. But I could have done with a Lord of the Rings style kind of montage at the start of it.
Jesus Christ.
You know what I mean, though? Gladriel talking us through exactly what...
This movie needed Cate Blanchett.
Yeah. But overall, I enjoy Alex Garland. Like, I think I've seen pretty much all of his movies.
You watched Devs as well, didn't you?
Devs as well. Devs is good.
Is that on Netflix?
It's on Disney Plus.
Okay.
It's a little bit long, but it's good. And it's an interesting take. No, it is. Like, Alex Garland kind of is a high... What would you say?
He's a great ideas man.
Yeah. And he's like, it's high...
Concept,
yeah. Which is what this movie is as well. Mm-hmm. But it was almost like going in for a steak dinner. And just, you're not quite satisfied
and
enough.
And you just sit down at the table and you're like, where's Cate Blanchett?
What did you think, Gary?
So yeah, so I agree in the sense of like, so okay, really cool concept. But like, the advertising, and I know the advertising, but whatever. The advertising, it's like showing you like people with guns at the Empire State, not the Empire, on the Statue of Liberty. It's showing you like breakdowns of the different like newly formed coalitions within the United States. Yeah. And that's a really interesting world that you want to see more of. Yeah. But the movie takes, like, as David says, the point of view of these photojournalists and how they sort of interact with, you know, not being able to decipher who's on what side because it's a civil war. And that's a really interesting idea for a movie, but you've placed it in what could have been a way more interesting movie. Yeah. So like, if you were going to do something about photojournalism and like maybe do something like the Vietnam War or something like that. And like, and I know this sounds like a weird tangent to go on, but I remember an episode of Only Murders in the Building where Selena Gomez's character is dating a photographer or a videographer and he talks about not helping this like baby elephant out of the mud because he's there to document, he's not there to interact and stuff. And I think I got more impact from that than I did this movie.
Yeah.
So I just think it's unfortunate because you've set it into a really interesting world, but we just don't get to see enough of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you there. Like, he almost could have put it on an alien world, made it like an alien civil war, just two tribes. Now, is he kind of trying to make it sit more closer to home and make it more kind of believable? I don't know, but it again, it's just a little bit disappointing. As you say, it could have been something just a little bit there could have been just so much more to it.
And don't get me wrong, like, from the photojournalist side of things, it's really, really interesting because I think Kirsten Dunst is great in this.
Yeah.
Really, really good. And it's just a nice elevation of what she nearly did in Power of the Dog, where she was so barely in it and so good. And now it's so great to see her kind of get a nice meaty role, speaking of steak dinners. And she's really good in it. And Wagner Moore is quite menacing in it. Not as menacing as when he was in Puss in Boots, The Last Wish.
Yeah.
And then Kaylee Spaney as well. She's having a great year too. Yeah. So like, really strong performances. Actually, and I'll throw in Stephen McKinley Henderson, who's also great in it, as a sort of elder journalist within this sort of setup. But like, the movie tempts you with really interesting tidbits and different sort of like the whole Wagner Moura's character Joel, like he seems like a morally corrupt person, yeah. but we never really see much of that. Yeah. He's also a journalist. He doesn't write anything yeah. down. He doesn't take any pictures.
It's all in the head. Gary.
He seems to just be there for the crack.
A bit like me, Gary. I don't bring notes.
Yeah, I know.
It's all in the head.
But so that was a bit like, okay, whatever. So like the movie nearly never really feels like it kicks into gear until the very end,
yeah.
when it kind of becomes the movie you nearly wanted to be, yeah. and then it ends in a way that is nearly deflating.
Yeah.
It ends appropriately for the movie it has been for like three quarters of the movie,
yeah.
but feels like a weird ending to the kind of high octane ending that it was going for.
Yeah, and there is bits of the movie
which is a bit like Annihilation.
yeah, he needs someone to just write a third actor. I don't know.
Yeah,
what I will say is there's bits in the story that are like you can almost see the lines being drawn. There's obviously the bit in the car chase where like something there's an exciting incident and then that leads to another yep. incident, and you can just see it happening. But it's like so unrealistic.
Yep.
But just in terms of positives, what I will say is it's a beautiful looking movie. Incredible. Yeah. Like the cinematography is incredible. Like it's everything just is like it is supposed to be a war movie, but everything is just so clearly like the colors just like mm-hmm. pop off the screen. And the
it's
other
those
thing,
Hawaiian shirts, David.
Yeah.
This guy's in Hawaiian shirts breaking into a building.
And the other thing I'll mention is the sound design is incredible.
Oh, yes.
It gets to the stage towards the end of the movie where it's every so often you would hear like a gunshot and it's like it's seriously impactful, like there's a huge kind of
bang,
there's a bang
behind
the
movie.
But then when you get to the actual war scene at the end of the movie, like you yeah. feel properly yeah. in it, and
very tense movie as well.
Yeah,
very yeah. tense. To the point of we went with Lily and she was horizontal with yeah. tension. Now she'll object to that, but no.
Yeah. Which again, it kind of adds to the thing that you don't know who's on what side.
Yes.
They're not on a side, but even then they're like worried going into certain situations.
So just speaking of the tension, a point I brought up and now I'm going to add on top of it. It's easier to have conversations with me. But no, like it's weird because there's all these like tense scenes and then they kind of just end abruptly.
Yeah.
Because there's a scene where they stop off for petrol and it just kind of ends, or yeah. gas as they would say in America. Yeah. There's a scene where they like doing an infiltration of a building and then it just ends suddenly, yeah, kind of thing.
Sniper as well.
The sniper scene as well. Like yeah. it's just, I understand what they're kind of going for. It's kind of similar to another movie we're going to talk about later on, in that like the movie's not there for those bits.
Yeah.
It's there for...
But again, I think what he was going for there is the photojournalism. You're not looking for...
Exactly.
Yeah, the ending. You're looking for what happened.
Yeah.
And that's all he's yeah. shown. And again, as you say, I really appreciate this movie and I appreciate what he was going for. It's just, I would have liked, as I say, a little bit more meat on the bone.
And a bit of a Cate Blanchett.
And
Australian.
A bit of a Cate Blanchett.
She's like, oh, it was a composer in a movie.
She sounds exactly like that.
G'day.
Mate.
Let me tell you about these rings, mate.
Imagine
there's bloody shit. There's bloody nine of them. Yeah, okay.
Okay.
They give them to the fucking humans?
The Cubans?
The humans. I don't know. Who gets the nine rings?
No, the men.
The men. Oh, the men get nine
the
rings.
Men, yeah.
Okay.
Seven for the dwarves.
Bloody dwarves get those rings, mate.
Three for the elves.
Is he from Yorkshire now?
Yeah.
This is a loose podcast. Speaking of great performances, Jesse Plemons in this for one scene,
yeah.
best part of the movie.
Incredible story behind it as well.
Yeah.
He wasn't even supposed to be
he
in
it. He wasn't meant to be in this movie. He was on set because he was him and Kirsten Dunst are married. They met on Fargo season 2. He was there with his kids. Actor dropped out. They like get Jesse in. Best part of the movie.
Yeah.
Really menacing. They use it in all the advertising because he's it's a very racially motivated or racially charged scene, I guess,
yeah.
in a way. He goes like, what type of, like, what American are you?
Yeah.
And stuff like that. It's very, very good.
Yeah.
But again, you'd want more of those things. I think it'd be a great little miniseries.
Yeah.
But look, like you said, it's great idea, decent execution, wanted more from it.
Yeah. What about Civil War 2?
They're still at it.
Texas and California
yeah.
don't get along
by
anymore.
God, Michael Collins is back. Oh, wait, you're in the American one. Oh, I see. But yeah, Civil War. We move on?
Let's do it.
We move on to David. We're talking about another fun movie.
A fun movie.
Oh, dude, I had a great time with this. It's called Abigail.
A big gale.
A big gale, David. a blustery wind. So what this is, okay, I'm going to say parts about this movie that when you're watching it will feel like I've said a spoiler to you,
yeah.
but it's in the trailers and it's yeah. very evident. So what happens is let me get the list of actors here because I'm bad with names. You're David, right? David?
See.
Okay. So this movie sees Melissa Barrera. Pereira as Joey, Dan Stevens as Frank, and as well as another cast of colorful characters, as they are charged with kidnapping this 13-year-old girl in the bid to blackmail her father for $50 million. So they hold her up in a house for the night. They're told to stay there for 24 hours while Giancarlo Esposito, Hollywood's big bad wolf, negotiates for this money. And all of a sudden then they're looking after this kid. They're learning a bit more about each other. They're not meant to know anything about each other, but think certain details about their backstory come out. And all of a sudden spooky things start happening, and they start getting picked off one by one by a sort of a nefarious evil presence.
Being.
The movie tries to trick you to think what that is for 30 minutes, yeah. But if you've watched the trailer, you know it's the little girl. The little girl is killing them. She's a vampire ballerina.
Yeah.
It stars Ireland's own Alicia Weir, who people would know from the Matilda movie, and Wicked Little Letters.
Yeah.
And who else we got in there? We got Catherine Newton as Sammy. We got Kevin Durand as Peter. Angus Cloud, I think, in his last performance.
Yeah.
Who else we got here? We got another character I won't say, and a guy called Will Catlett as Rickles. Man, what a fun movie. Directed by the duo... who did the more recent Scream movies and Ready or Not. It's like Ready or Not, but with a little vampire ballerina girl. it's a horror movie, but it's so funny. It's really, really funny.
Yeah.
And it balances that sort of tension, the tense elements and the horror elements with the action elements and the laugh elements. It's really, really well made. The script is so sharp in that the dialogue is so on point, but then also how the story unfolds is so, so good. Now, again, it would be better... if you didn't know she was the vampire ballerina. Yeah. But even after that, because it's in one location, it still unfolds in a really, really good way. And the ending goes on a bit too long, but I think it's to appease a sort of a more of an action ending, sort of Hollywood style to the movie. But again, I'm really, really happy with everyone in it, from the acting, the directing, the score as well, and then also the production design.
Yeah. This is kind of like adding to this new age of horror comedy where like,
Talk to me. Bodies, bodies, bodies.
Yeah, where like it's like the comedy is like so well kind of infused with the horror and stuff, and I think the cast is great, and I think they really bring it together. I don't think it would kind of land as well if you didn't believe like the characters were like properly well-rounded, kind of developed characters. But as you say, my biggest disappointment with this is the fact that the first 45 minutes are kind of redundant.
Yes.
And like, it's still kind of tense because you're like, you're still kind of looking around corners, you know, you have a tracking shot on a character and you're like, is someone going to jump out? And it's sort of like disappointing that you have such a cool concept and they ruined it
But I did see a point of like, you wouldn't get people to go see it.
I don't know, a name like Dan Stevens and a name like Marissa Burr,
it made very little money as is.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I just feel like this could have been like a bit of a Talk to Me where people go in to figure out what the thing is or whatever. Okay. I don't know, again, I'm not a PR guy, so I know nothing about this, but I just imagine. Just imagine, like, you hear the stories of what they're saying.
Yeah.
They have a story. They make up a story.
It turns out her father is a big bad dude.
Yeah. And he has a hitman, and they make up a story about the hitman, you know, and he comes and he tears people apart. And
it's the little girl.
It ends up being the little girl.
But 40 minutes of you thinking it's the hitman.
But it's that thing is the characters know less than the audience does. Yes. And it really shouldn't be like that, especially in a horror movie. Even saying all that, there is a lot of fun to be had in this. There is, as you say, I think Dan Stevens, following on from Kong and
he's in another movie called Cuckoo coming out in month after next, I think. So which is why I said I knew he was in something else this year.
He's doing a top quality character.
Those are fucking onions.
Yeah. Marissa Barrera kind of does a really good job of kind of, she seems like the new kind of Scream Queen now, like that.
Yeah, she's just like, just cover me a lot of blood.
Yeah, but even like being able to lead that kind of troupe of characters and stuff, she does a really good job of it. And then, and again, the side characters are great. Like, I thought your man Peter Durand,
he's so good.
Yeah,
he's been in stuff like sprinkled throughout the years. Yeah, he is
for ages I was looking at him, I was like, where do I remember him from? He's in Wolverine Origins.
He's the blob. Yeah, yeah. He's also Elon Musk's better looking twin.
Yeah, he looks like Elon Musk. Yeah,
but he's been in so many things. But like, again, I think so much of it comes down to the writing, because I back a lot of these people's performances in the past. But you look at someone like Catherine Newton. Absolute balls in that man.
No, but I feel like the problem there was that she's a great side character. I feel like if you put her in a more lead role, she can get annoying.
I just think she was great in this as well.
Yeah.
I just thought all the, like, okay, there was like, besides your man Will Catlett, he's a guy in it. He plays Rickles.
Yeah.
He feels a bit off, I would say, compared to the rest of them. Yeah. Who seem very like.
But he's a military man, so I was like.
Yeah. Okay. But he's met. But there's a whole like hints between him and having a romance with Melissa Barrera's character. I'm like, I don't get that. Anyway, whatever.
You have to create allies.
David, I'm more likely to believe the little vampire ballerina.
Yeah. I'm sorry. We completely.
We have a build to it.
We're
much like, we have to wait. We have to trick the audience. We're forgetting about the little girl.
We're burying the lead.
Yeah. At least we're. My God.
Well, just the fact that, like, not only does she have to play a vampire, being like constantly covered in blood, and she has to do the dancing,
and then she does her own dancing as well, I think.
Yeah, and very then impressive. She has to do like little girl pretending to be scared
in an American accent,
and
she's Irish.
I will say there's a bit in this where even the bit where she's talking to the rest of them, but I think specifically the bit where she's talking to Dan Stevens, she's like menacing, I love it.
but now, if people haven't switch the episode off entirely or skip to the next one, I think it's really important to know there is still a lot more twists and turns in this. It's the first 40 minutes, again, you're kind of just waiting to get to it, but there's more things afoot in the movie, and a hand and an arm. There's so many body parts in this movie that are worth sticking around for. So definitely worth checking out, and it's just a really fun cinema experience. And I kind of like would kind of compare it similar to like Godzilla X Kong, in that, like, look, it's not the most highbrow bit of entertainment, but it's really good cinema fare. And I really recommend it as a fun time.
Absolutely.
And I don't think it's very bloody, but I don't think it's too gross. No. There's nothing too gross.
Compare it to something like The Boys. If you watch The Boys.
Okay.
There's a lot of blood in The Boys.
But yeah. No, I had a really good time.
Ready or Not is best comparison. Yeah.
They kind of just did the same thing again, though, didn't they?
Yeah, but look. No, but they switched it, though. Do you know the way, like, in Ready or Not, is one person getting chased by a group of people?
Yeah.
That's one person chasing a group of people.
What's next?
Scooby-Doo.
Yes, I was just about to say. They're all chasing each other, Scooby-Doo stuff. They should do a Scooby-Doo. That'd be great.
Wouldn't it?
Marissa Barrera as Velma or Daphne.
Yeah.
And then you get Kevin Durant as Shaggy. Dan Stevens is Fred.
I was going to say Fred.
He'd be a good Fred.
He'd be a good Fred.
And then Catherine Newton is Daphne.
Yeah.
That's our little episode of Recast Away.
Who plays the dog?
Giancarlo Esposito. No, Giancarlo would be a great scrappy-do. And you said you're not a Hollywood man. Look at you.
I know.
That's going to make $5 billion.
You know the way they're doing all those things where, like, Winnie the Pooh is now
a horror movie.
Yeah,
that's because it's a book from 1807.
They can't tell me Scooby Doo wasn't made in
it. Prove it. Show me your papers. But yeah, fun time.
Yeah.
Shall we move on to the next movie?
Can't wait.
What? That They May Face the Rising Sun.
Okay.
This is a bit of a downer, isn't it?
Yeah, so we're going to probably the most.
Or we could do Tell You What I Saw the Other Day.
No, I'll get through it.
Yeah.
We're going from probably the most high octane movie to.
See, I didn't think we'd see this today, and it wasn't in the original notes. So
no, don't worry about it.
Change.
So this is a story about Joe and Kate, who live in vaguely the west of Ireland, Midlands of Ireland, and they are kind of middle aged couple, no children. But what they do have, or what they do, is kind of look after a lot of the community in the area. So there would be a lot of people, kind of older age people, that would come to theirs for dinner or tea, as they would say in the West, and come in just for chats, drink a tea. And their house kind of seems to be the social hub of the community outside of the kind of town. they would help out with farming and stuff, but they're very much seen as outsiders, but are very much kind of embedded in the community, as I said. We have a number of kind of older gentlemen who kind of appear are in and out of their lives and stuff. So we have Patrick, who's a bit hard-nosed. We've got
Jamesy,
who's soft-spoken but loves kind of chatting shit, if they're chatting shite.
Yeah.
Johnny. We have Johnny, who is living over in England and it seems to be getting on all right. We have
Bill,
yep. Who is very quiet, very shy, loves a bit of grub.
Is he shy? I think he's very blunt.
No, but you remember he's getting on the bus.
Oh, that's true, yeah. Oh, that's cute.
And then, is that it? What's his uncle's name?
All the people left in Wikipedia, David.
What's his uncle? Joe has an uncle who owns the garage. I can't remember his
Nolan's.
Name.
Nolan's. No? It? I don't know. Yeah, sure.
Anyway.
We just saw this. It's also County Leitrim, by the way.
Oh, it's set in Leitrim.
Yeah, you can see why they're all sad.
Jeez, fair play to them. That's mad.
Yeah. Who would move to Leitrim?
Well, okay. This is a quiet movie. It's quite slow. But what I will say is it captures the life essence of like...
The day-to-day.
Yeah, of like country Ireland. You know, everything's just very slow as you go. You get your work done as you need it. And the film kind of captures a whole almost a year within its story. You know, you have the spring or summertime where they're harvesting, looking after the animals. They move into winter, things get a little bit more tougher. But it's the biggest thing this movie is kind of built on is the interaction between the characters, and it's almost the stuff that's not said. And it's very Irish thing, you know, you don't kind of tell people your troubles.
Yep.
I wouldn't say it's for everyone, but it seemed to be quite popular, as we saw today. Like,
a
I think
lot
it's,
of people.
Yeah, a lot
I
of
think
all
we were
people.
The youngest by about 40 years.
Yeah, but yeah, very, as I say,
quaint.
Quaint, yeah. Yeah, and like, what I will say, beautiful, like the fact that they seem to film on location. I don't know where it was.
Connemara.
That's filming in Connemara.
Because
yeah.
I recognised it.
Yeah, yeah.
A man who loves Connemara myself.
It's beautiful looking film. The cast are all do a great job. A shout out specifically to, I think his name's Roddy something, is it?
Who?
Patrick.
Oh, Lawler.
Lawler Roddy.
Lawler, so yeah. Lawler Roddy.
He's great. He's probably a standout. Very, very hard nosed. But even your man who plays Joe is very good. But yeah, I would just say it just captures life in west of Ireland or country Ireland. It doesn't necessarily have to be Leitrim, but anywhere in Ireland. Just at that time. So it was probably, it looks like 70s or 80s, was it?
It was set in the 80s.
80s, yeah. But yeah, it's a grand movie.
Grand.
Yeah.
It's like a less exciting Banshees of Inisherin.
It's more realistic, I think. Yeah.
No one's chopping fingers off in this. That we know of.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree with everything. Again, I'd only just seen it, so I'm still kind of thinking about stuff. But yeah, very, very, like, it's slow, but it's good that it's slow because that's the point of it.
Yeah.
I guess some elements that maybe people might want to know maybe going in is that, so obviously it focuses on Joe and Kate as they move from London to Ireland. And like, you think there's going to be points at which they argue about, you know, because there's developments with, she's like a drawer, she paints and stuff like that. And there's, thing happens with the gallery and whether they're going to move back and stuff, and you kind of think that these are going to be big plot points, but they're not. And I think the movie does a good job of kind of just putting that stuff on hold to know that, you know, that's not the story we're kind of here to tell. We're here to kind of deal with these interactions. Maybe want to ring my granny because old people are Jesus. So people are something else when you watch this. Oh my god, ring your grannies, ring your granddads, ring your folks.
Yeah.
But yeah, it does it so well. And I think, I don't know, two boys from Dublin probably don't.
It doesn't speak to us.
Doesn't
as much,
speak to
I'd
us
say.
As much. But I'd know, I'd have mates who'd kind of watch this and kind of be able to recognise a lot of the elements.
I would say this would be a great movie to watch if you are currently living abroad and you haven't been back to Ireland.
Oh no, this could be tough.
Yeah, I think this is something to just bring you back home for a few hours.
Even if it's a Leitrim, like.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, even if it is the worst county in Ireland.
No, Antrim.
Oh wow, really?
Yeah, Antrim's the worst, man.
Belfast, no?
No. Sticking with Antrim.
If you say so.
Yep. What else are we going to go with? I think that's everything with the... I don't like the name of the movie, though. Face the Rising Sun.
It's based on a book.
I know, but fucking change.
What would you change to?
Hey, look there. Look over there. Big sun's coming our way. No?
No.
I feel like it rolls off the tongue better.
Yeah.
Look out! The sun! It's on us!
Yeah.
Anyway. But no, yeah, not a great time.
The other thing I will say, the movie does a good job. It does the year, like the year, the seasons. It starts very chirpy.
Yeah.
And then it ends in the graveyard. Something that came to my head there. And it was raining as well.
Yeah.
Also, this falsely advertises that Ireland actually sees the sun.
It's the mundanity, David. We don't see any of the exciting stuff, just the boring sun. And I just want to also emphasize again how great all the, especially the, I kind of felt a bit bad. I was looking at a lot of these like old Irish actors being like, these are all great.
Yeah.
All good. Everyone's focused on the hot young boys like Cillian Murphy and Paul Mescal. Yeah. Get me Lawler Roddy in the next Rolling Stones,
video.
Get what's his face? Philip Dolan on the face of Versace, David. Sean McGinley. Get him, what else are they doing? What else are the hot young Irish boys doing? Get him running around London in ga shorts.
Yeah.
No, they're all really good. They're also very funny. But just do that balance well of like our lads who've been around the block.
Yeah.
Very, very good. Right, time to pick it up again, Dave. We're talking about Tell You What I Saw the Other Day. So I'm going to start things off with, actually, I'm going to break code for the podcast, David. I've never done this before.
You're breaking the rules, Gary.
I don't like talking about TV shows on the podcast, because if we start doing TV shows, David, it's going to open up a can of worms.
Yeah.
But I'll stick with limited releases.
Okay, nice.
And I'm going to talk about Baby limited Reindeer series on Netflix.
Yeah.
Neat. I know you've watched two episodes.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. So anyone who doesn't know anything about it, it's basically about a stand-up comedian who is working in a pub to basically survive. And all of a sudden, this woman comes in, this middle-aged woman, 40, comes into the pub and looks very distraught. And he gives her a cup of tea, offers her a cup of tea just to be nice. And then all of a sudden, she starts coming into the pub every day. And then as we learn over time, then she begins to stalk him quite aggressively. I won't ruin anything else about it, because there's other developments of it that are bonkers. But it gets very full on, I will say. It could be hard to watch for a couple of people, but it's so, not only well made, but the story is so interesting. And the best part about it, not the best part about the story, but the most interesting thing about the story is it's based on a real thing that's happened to not only anybody, but the man who wrote and created the show and stars as the main character. So it is very full on in that regard, and I think it's just so well. It's, and you know what's great about it, and I know people always give out to me about my short attention spans, 30 minute episodes, and it hooks you in, and I watched it in about 2 days. It's so engrossing.
I kind of don't want to do this so I can watch the rest of it.
I was the same. I was meeting up with someone, I was like, I'd love to not be here and watch Baby Reindeer. But no, I'd highly recommend it. 7 episodes, 30 minutes. It's like a long movie, so it counts as me bringing up on the podcast.
So what would that 7, probably like 3.5 hours?
Yeah, you could watch Killers of the Flower Moon and be depressed at how shit it is, or watch Baby Reindeer.
I've got actually a load of movies this month. I'm just going to mention,
hit me with the good ones.
I'm going to mention a couple here. So In the Loop, incredible.
Oh, neat. Tell me more about In the Loop.
In the Loop is fantastic.
What's it on?
No, it's on, it's still on Amazon Prime, I believe. Isn't it? No, sorry, it's on Netflix. It is on Netflix.
Yep.
Incredible. It's set in like the late 2010s.
Well, 2000s. It was May 2009, so.
No, you know what I mean? Like, it's set around the Iraq War, let's say.
It's a comedy.
It's a comedy about the interactions between the American and British governments deciding whether or not to go to war. It stars one
Peter Capaldi,
Tom
Hollander, Chris Addington, James Gandolfini, Gina McKee, Anna Chlumsky, Zach Woods, Steve Coogan,
Paul Higgins. Anyway, it's a satirical look at that kind of interaction, and it is hilarious, and it's right up my street now. I don't know if it's perfect for everyone.
So we met up with Owen. We recommend it to watch Owen. It's written and directed by a guy called Amando Annucci, who has written some very funny stuff like Veep and The Death of Stalin. However, I think this is actually better. But Owen was like,
it's better than Death of Stalin.
And Owen was like, I don't like Veep, so I won't like this. And then I'm going to throw shade at him now as well, because he goes, Gary, do you know this was directed by Amando Annucci? He's like, yes, we told you that. But he ended up giving it 4 stars, so he had a great time with it as well. So even if you don't like Veep, this could be up your street. It's a spin-off of the BBC show The Thick of It.
Thick of It, yeah.
But well acted. Some stuff that you You couldn't say to your granny, let's say. If Patrick's coming around for a whiskey and a cup of tea, you couldn't say this to him.
Somehow what they've done is they've managed to get the essence of a sketch show and, like, stitch it together.
As a movie.
Because, as a movie. Because there's the bit in... the bit where he meets the kid. In the White House. In the White House?
Yeah. And the bit where you have to reschedule the time.
Reschedule it.
So good.
Oh. Or this is the, what is it? This is the meditation room.
Oh yeah. Very, very good. Highly recommend it. It's also it's an hour and 46.
Yeah.
What else you got?
The other one I just wanted to mention there is Lock.
Oh, did you watch Lock?
Yeah.
I didn't see you watch Lock.
I gave it 4 stars. That might be a bit high, but it's
Tom Hardy. He's in a car.
Very interesting concept.
Okay.
Hold on, actually, sorry, I just want to see. So it's Tom Hardy in a car, and there's just a lot going on.
A lot going on.
His name is Locke. He has to make all these calls.
David missed the joke.
I got the joke. It was just shy.
David didn't laugh at the joke. Put that on the record.
It's about him. He has a lot going on in his life, but he has
a lot
to make a
going
lot.
On there. Please.
He has to make a lot of calls to different people, family, friends, colleagues. Heavy stuff. Oh, okay. A lot going on. The man is stressed.
Yeah.
Voices of Andrew Scott, Olivia Colman, Tom Holland.
They're all animated characters?
No.
Yeah, they're on the phone. Sorry. Yeah.
I'm trying to see if there's anything else. And it's directed by Stephen Knight, who...
Oh, he's done things.
Did he not do...
No, you're thinking of Stephen S. Knight, who did the Daredevil show.
My bad. No, wait. Executive producer on... Never mind.
Peaky Blinders.
They're all... Yeah, Peaky Blinders. There we go. Sorry, I'm a silly
boss. He did Spencer as well.
He also did... He wrote Allied and Burnt... No, never mind. This guy isn't as good.
Focus on the good things.
Anyway, very interesting concept. All just takes place in a car, and it's only 85 minutes.
Oh, wow.
It's not on any services anymore. Damn. Sorry. I must have watched it because I was leaving. But anyway, I still want to give it a shout out because it's such an interesting concept.
Yeah, it's a bit under the radar as well.
Tom Hardy's great. Does a great Welsh accent.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. I have one more, but you go on.
Sorry. Lock is on Amazon Prime, apparently.
Still is?
Yeah.
Oh, according to Google. It doesn't say that here.
There you go. I have one. Speaking of Amazon Prime, David.
Yeah.
I watched a movie called The Prince of Egypt. Okay? So I was talking to my
brother. Is that on Disney Plus?
No, it's Amazon Prime. Okay. So it's weird. So I was talking to my brother about this, and we were both convinced we had seen this movie. But then we realized that when we went to the classic as kids, there was always like a cardboard cutout of it, well after the movie was like... not in public release anymore. So we just remember looking at the poster a lot, thinking, you probably saw that. We have not seen this movie. I'll watch this movie. It is such a... It opens with an absolute banger of a tune. It's the soundtrack is unreal. There's some dud songs. There's one shit one with Steve Martin and Martin Short. But I love them and Only Murders. Go watch that. Remember I said about the elephant thing earlier? What a show. Anyway, so there's some banging tunes in it. The animation, while not advanced... is beautiful to look at. Some unbelievable imagery in this. The voice acting is fine. It's pretty good. It's got like Val Kilmer in it. It's got Ralph Fiennes. It's got Jeff Goldblum. It's got Helen Mirren. Like I said, Martin.
Yeah, actually, I was looking at that when you put it up on. I was like shocked by the...
Unbelievable. It's DreamWorks. Early days DreamWorks. Yeah. I think it's maybe the second or third movie they made. And yeah, just wow. I was so blown away by it. It depicts the life of Moses.
Yeah.
He goes down in the little... the
I
little
feel
basket.
Like we watched this in school. In primary school. Sorry,
So what you call it? Yeah, I was just blown away. Now again, people could watch it and think this is bad, but I just stuck it on and I was like, wow. And then it gets to the bit with the seven plagues, David. Yeah. There's fucking kids dying left, right, and center. And then it's so full on.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is a kids movie.
Yeah.
And then DreamWorks, like 10 years later, were like, what if a baby was a boss?
They've lost their minds.
They literally just went off a cliff so bad. But no, like, I don't know who directed it. It's the guy who did a lot of stuff. And... But yeah, no, I was just really pleasantly surprised by it. So yeah,
I remember that one from back in the day. Yeah,
I think
it's very good.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, who else? Fucking what's his name? Forrest Whitaker? No, Danny Glover's in it. Sorry,
yeah,
oops.
Yeah.
And he's got a song in it, and it's called something about like Gates of Heaven or something like that. Or oh man, what a tune! bangers. Some great bangers.
I don't remember it being a musical.
I think yeah, there's songs in it. Yeah. Oh, the song at the start, David. Just listen to that. And then they went on to do the Road to El Dorado. Peak.
What a time to be alive.
Peak bangers in animated movies, David. But go on, what's your last one?
I was going to pick out a movie called Musica.
Musica?
Yeah.
Amazon Prime as well?
Amazon Prime.
You're giving Jeff Bezos a lot of airtime here.
Yeah, God, jeez.
Do you want to talk about some of the, what you call it, the human rights federations and foundations we support?
Do we?
Nah, let's stick to Bezos.
So Musica is a movie that is written, no, sorry, it's
no
written,
way. Is it?
Written, directed, and starring Rudy Mancuso.
There's only one other Rudy I know, and that would have been wild. Hey, what?
And
Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Anyway, he says this is a true story, but I don't know how true it is. It's pretty much about his life. He sees everything as music. So, like, someone's tapping the table, that's a beat, and then, like, someone starts whisking something, you know, that adds that rhythm to it. Everything is just music to him, and he's trying to just capture it all in his head.
Music is life.
Yeah, but he is he's American, but he comes from a Brazilian family. So, and he breaks up with his girlfriend, and his mother is trying to set him up with a Brazilian girl. It seems to be inside a sort of a Brazilian neighborhood in New Jersey, and it's just the going on of his life. He's kind of coming of age, deciding what he wants to do. He's going through college, or he's finishing up in college. Kind of a cute enough story, but what I will say is its story is fine. What I will say is the production is incredible.
Okay.
Like some of the scene transitions, or like the production of like seeing two people in different places and mixing the shot and stuff. Him just bringing stuff to life in his head. There's some music in it, which is very kind of catchy. No, but
some
like
music
no,
in
but some yeah, songs yeah, yeah, there are yeah. very catchy. Don't patronize me. There's also a bit where he's on a date with two people at the same time, which is very funny.
That sounds like there's a lot going on there.
Worth a watch.
Yeah.
If anyone's looking for just a 90-minute movie,
ooh.
Your one is in it.
Camila Mendes from Riverdale.
Yeah. See, people seem to like her.
Yeah. No idea why.
Very sweet. Anyway.
It's got J.B. Smooth in it. You didn't say J.B. Smooth.
Yeah.
Our good friend J.B. Smooth, Davis.
Yeah. I was going to say, the two lads we went to see in Conan O'Brien, they seem to be on a bit of a...
Yeah.
Bit of a run.
We won't say who the other is. Andy Muschietti is in this, David. The director of The Flash.
Is he?
He plays Subway Busker.
Oh, that's funny.
There you go.
Walton Goggins was the other one. He's in the new Fallout series.
Wally Goggs.
Yeah.
As we call him.
Yeah.
Yeah, where's the look? A little bit light and fluffy, but it's a fun time.
Yeah. Well, that's everything that we saw the other day.
Some of it, yeah.
Back we go.
So, Monkey Man, set in India.
Good guess.
And it is about the...
David mentioned you just bring notes, right?
Political... No, but even if I had notes, I wouldn't know how to write this. But about the religious and political goings on in India and how it is corrupt and how one man named Dev Patel...
Mm-hmm.
Who stars...
Plays as the kid, or Bobby, or Monkey
and
Man.
Directs this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Has to become the Monkey Man to save India. John Wick style.
Yeah.
No, seriously. This is an action style movie.
Mm-hmm.
What I will say is has a little bit more depth to your typical kind of John Wick. And it just follows Dev Patel's character, who is a wrestler.
Yeah,
I would say he's
underground
like
fight
underground
club.
Fight club wrestler, but he's also infiltrating a corrupt gang, sort of political gang, whatever, to try and work his way up through the levels of society to get to the people who matter the most to try and change things.
But like not with his words, with his fists and
with
bullets
fists,
and knives.
Yeah, this is like the opposite to Gandhi.
I think you'll find this is the better version of Gandhi. I think if Gandhi had got a knife and a gun, a lot more stuff would have happened faster in India, if you ask me.
Very, very good movie. I really enjoyed it.
Sorry, can I just like detract immediately? Remember you talking about the Winnie the Pooh horror movie?
Yeah.
Gandhi action movie would be unbelievable.
Is that not what Aurora was?
No. I want Gandhi.
Slit throats.
Taking names. Like, instead of like vowing for no violence, vowing for only violence.
Against the Brits, of course.
Absolutely. Brits out.
Yeah. This is a good time. Yeah. Sorry, it is a good action movie. And it's amazing, like, if you want actually to hear, like, how difficult it was to get this movie made, just look up some interview videos on YouTube about...
you try standing. You try make this movie. You'll see how hard it is.
About Dev Patel talking about all the goings-on of what happened during this production. So what I will say, it also touches on a lot of, I'd say, important issues within Indian society and culture. So it obviously talks about the different tribes within the country. Sort of like, is it the religious tribes? Or like, you know, the way that, like, he's part of one tribe, but then he gets pushed out by the other religious people.
Sure.
I feel like that was important. And then there is obviously the transgender kind of...
warriors.
Monks.
Yeah.
Which is also important to it. But yeah, I'm doing a pretty bad job of this. But anyway, it's a good time. Some great action. Some great direction. Worth a look.
Yeah. And I think what, like, so I wasn't a big fan of it, because what it kind of does is it's very restrained in the action. For like the first two-thirds of the movie, I'm going to say. Like, it kind of uses it quite sparingly, I would say. And kind of focuses on building this sort of background around. So the reason why Dev Patel... Well, the reason why it's called Monkey Man is Dev Patel's character kid sort of takes this sort of... Is persona. It Hindu legend or just Indian legend of the Monkey Man, and sort of embodies that character, if you will, not only in the ring, but as he sort of tries to infiltrate this sort of, as David said, sort of like political gang. So... the movie does a really good job building all that stuff up. So it actually, like as David said, adds a lot more depth to the movie. However, as a man who thought he was going in to see Challengers, I thought I was a bit bored, as was the audience around me, I felt. I just felt like people were kind of checking out of it, and it made me check out of it a bit as well. But Lily had a good time, so what you call it? Who's to say? Because I wouldn't have thought that was her type of movie, but you know, she seemed to enjoy herself. So where else was I going with this? Other things, yes. So I'm really well impressed with the direction. However, I just felt like it added the depth to, let's say, a John Wick movie, but I feel like the action just was too sparingly used for my full attention and enjoyment. And that's not to say it's bad for that reason. I'm just saying that's why I didn't enjoy it. I definitely felt the time tick by slowly. And when it came to the action then as well, it's nothing we haven't seen before, but coming from a first-time director, as a man who has to direct himself in the lead role as well, is quite impressive. I don't know if it made much money. It's doing well on streaming, I believe, at the moment. So hopefully this reignites Dev Patel to be able to do something again, because I think there was a lot of interesting sort of takes, decisions he made when making it that I thought made it quite compelling. So I'd want to see that creative voice kind of speak again, if you will.
Well, his big quote coming out of this movie was the reason he wanted to make this movie and the reason he wanted to star in it. Now, I didn't think he had planned on starring, but he kind of fell into it. He didn't plan on directing. What am I talking about? Was that he was always the guy behind the computer, or he was always the guy in the ear.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Hollywood never saw him as the action hero. And the only way that he would ever see himself being an action hero is if he actually produced a movie where he was the action hero.
And what's it called? Jordan Peele.
Jordan Peele, yeah.
Produced it as well.
Partly produced, yeah. But yeah, I just think, like, when I've seen so many different action movies now that are just kind of mindless.
Hey, I've been wronged. I better take down this big group of people.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like action movie with Gandhi, remember?
Yeah, the one we talked about, where he's trying to take back India.
Yeah.
Whereas I just found with this, it was just that bit more depth, and there was more of a drive. And I think the other thing I really liked about it was the intertwining of the backstory as well.
Mm-hmm.
You get little kind of hints of it at the start. No,
I felt like it just was like I got the gist of it. I just felt like we went back to it so many times, and then we saw like glimpses of a scene, and then we had to watch the whole scene, and we're like, oh man, just like it just feel like it was showing rather than tell. But like,
that's exactly what it's supposed
to
do.
I know, but they showed so much where I was like, it probably could have been a tell, buddy.
You just wanted to see Zendaya.
I just wanted to see.
That was your problem.
No, it wasn't. No, genuinely, because I was excited that it was Monkey Man, because I knew going in beforehand. I just thought up until that day it would be Challengers, because it was a secret screening. Anyway, I just felt like it was missing something. I don't know what, but...
Candy.
What?
Candy.
Candy, yeah.
Fair. No, I also think it was a great, like, he used the idea, the Monkey Man steals from the gods, I think, or he beats the gods, something, does yeah. something with the gods anyway. But
it's not a great sign of the movie that you keep forgetting important parts of the movie.
It was a month ago. I've seen like 18 movies since then.
We're so good at watching movies.
But like, do you not like that? It was kind of reflecting on the
mirror. I don't know, there was something, there was a disconnect there. The disconnect being, where's Josh O'Connor?
Exactly. But it could be a concept that if they wanted to make a comic book movie.
Oh, yeah.
But make it realistic.
Yeah.
And make it so, like, instead of, say, superhero A versus gods B, make it man A versus political upper class B. You know what I mean?
So, like that Gandhi movie we're talking about.
Exactly. But you know what I mean? Yeah, making it more realistic. Or
also,
more believable.
Another thought part about the movie I really enjoyed was the sort of underground fight club bits.
Yeah.
Didn't get enough of those.
And not enough shot.
Not enough shot. Look out, play diver. Oh, it's a different thing. He's shot. Shot. He's all like, who's going to bet on the monkey men?
The monkey men.
We've got a big snake coming
yes.
in this.
Oh, yes.
We just have to do New Zealand then. We've done the tri nations. but yeah, good time.
Yeah.
Right. Speaking of good times, David.
Good times.
Movie of the month, I say.
Yeah.
Challengers.
Oh.
Right. Well, yeah?
Yeah.
A movie of my month.
Movie of course it is. All you want to see is Zendaya. This is our last movie.
This is the last movie, yeah. And then you're free for another month.
Gonna watch Baby Reindeer.
So, this movie is about three characters. We've got Tashi, Patrick, and Art. All tennis players. The movie kind of follows them. It sort of opens with Tashi having her life set up in a certain way. As David would also remind you, don't watch the trailer if you haven't seen the trailer, because it kind of gives away a lot of the
big time.
It gives away a lot of the sort of.
Did you watch it?
I did after. I can see where you're coming from a bit, but not too much. Anyway, but I get what you're coming from. Anyway, so the point is, we meet Art and Patrick, Bezzy mates when they were younger, and all of a sudden they meet a young Zendaya, and then throughout series of events throughout the movie, and both as they progress in life, both in their tennis career and their relationships, They sort of interweave and they sort of meet each other in different ways throughout time. And it all accumulates. it all accumulates in a sort of a tennis match between the two of them,
yeah.
Which Zendaya is at the sideline for watching, where there is more at stake than you would initially think when we first see it. But as we sort of learn more about their backstories and the different sort of circumstances going into this sort of tennis match, we sort of understand, like I said, what's at stake. So what's good about this movie? The acting is incredible, because not only are they doing a great job in the present day, but also as they play each other, they play their characters 13 years apart. So we see them as nervous kids, and then we see them as like fully fleshed out sort of pro athletes who have been like either married or in relationship for a certain amount of time as well. So we see them interact as kids and adults. So that's great. So, and that a lot of that, it goes into the production design as well. Sorry, the costume design, sorry, because I think that's great. Luca Guadagnino, a name that is fun to say. He's known for movies such as Bones and All, Call Me By Your Name, and there's another one. Suspiria as well.
Suspiria.
His style, his sort of sweaty style, is all over this movie, with some beautiful shots of not only the actors, but then also during the tennis shots as well. It's a very stylistic movie. Some would argue too stylistic, but it didn't take me out of the movie. It didn't bother me too much, but I could see how it could bother other people. The score by the two boys, Atticus Ross and Trent Reznor, is hypnotic and engrossing throughout. It is a sort of a vibey Berlin nightclub beat that plays out not even in the tennis scenes, but also in just the sheer interactions between two people, because David, as we've learned from this movie, everything is tennis. Sex is tennis, but the only thing that sex isn't is sex.
And tennis?
Tennis is sex. Sex is not sex, though.
Okay.
It's a hot and steamy movie. The interactions between the characters are great, not only just by Zendaya and the two boys, but the two boys themselves. It's great to see the likes of Josh O'Connor, who we would have seen in The Crown, played Prince Charles, evolve into something like this, and the same as the other guy, Mike Fast, being dancy little boy in West Side Story tennis boy.
That's
in this.
Where I remember him from.
And the like I said, the editing is great, the dialogue is piercing and fantastic, and if you haven't picked it up already, it is my favorite movie of the year so far.
Loser.
Yeah, David, thoughts?
Yeah.
It's fine.
I watched the trailer to this movie, so I knew what was going to happen for the first, hour and a half. There is a bit of a twist and turn towards the end, but for most part, knew what was going to happen. No, I agree with Gary. Like, as a movie, it's well built, good production, tennis shots are good. I do appreciate when a movie is able to capture the essence of a sport,
yeah,
or the look of a sport, because sometimes you see a movie and they do football.
So it's like it's rugby and Invictus.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Clint Eastwood's clearly never watched a rugby
now game. Look, to be fair, there's times where Zendaya is hitting a CGI ball. And,
yeah.
But it's fine. I kind of
get
that. Sound
design's great, though.
Yeah. Two boys are good. Zendaya's good. Yeah, the dialogue's really good. Like, it's as you say, there's some standout lines that, like, really hit home. What were my issues with this? It was... Yeah, I feel like the story was trying to make out that certain people were bad guys.
Oh, David, there was a lot of making out in this movie.
But, like, I feel like they're all terrible people.
But they are all terrible, because there's a great thing about this movie, that they're all driven to make certain decisions based on different interactions between them.
Yeah.
And as the movie progresses and as they mature, they become more assertive in what they're actually looking for in life.
But, no, my point was that I personally only think that one person made, like, a serious mistake. I think everything else is just, like, naturally... I think everything else is just natural.
Okay.
Whereas I think one person was like, no, that is objectively wrong.
Okay,
what you did.
Well, we'll tell it after the podcast. But
yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, I feel like...
But they're all bad.
No, I don't think anything they've done is wrong. I think certain things happen.
Yeah.
And certain characters feel a certain way about certain other people.
Yeah.
Or other characters. But... from what I've seen or what I experienced,
yeah,
there was only one objectively, like, wrong thing that the person did.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's when Zendaya popped her knee out.
Yeah. Like, why would you do that? Especially Gary's in the room.
Oh, me. I tell you, like, okay, you've seen movies with me for years.
Yeah.
That is the most I've squirmed in a movie.
Yeah.
I had to close my eyes. That's how bad
it was. You didn't know that was coming.
I knew it was coming from the trailer. I did not see it. I was tense all the way through. And I was ready for it. I wasn't ready for the close-up of the knee. Yeah. That was gross. Oh, I couldn't not. I didn't know.
Because I knew when she was wearing that color, I was like, yeah.
Yeah, I know. No, I knew that was the scene it was happening in.
Yeah.
I wasn't ready for when it happened. And it's so... no, I can't talk about it. It's fucking bad.
Anything else? I don't know. I still could have... I would have liked a little bit more, like, the world of tennis. Because tennis is, like, a posh sport. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. It's not about tennis.
I know, it's about them. But... why is it tennis then?
Because it's a sexy sport where they grunt and they sweat.
I would never have said tennis was very sexy.
What's the sexiest sport, David?
I don't know. Some people would probably say, like, gymnastics maybe, or something.
Joe,
like,
mine is chess. Because I tell you what, I'm attracted to the mind, David.
Loser.
Beach volleyball.
So, yeah, there you go.
So, what you call it?
My other point I was going to make is this is probably my favorite of his movies.
Yeah, I don't care for the other ones too much.
Yeah.
This, because I think this one is just so...
Bones and All was so gimmicky.
Yeah.
And then...
oh, it just went nowhere with
and
it.
And then Call Me By Your Name. I recently saw that on TV and I just couldn't get through it. I was like, this is going nowhere.
Yeah.
And it's just, yeah, it's so meandering. Whereas I will say this one's a bit more focused. The biggest problem with
it,
yeah, the biggest issue with it was that for 90 minutes I was like, I know where this is going. Now, last, you know, 45 minutes or so was great, but
I love the acting. I love the little micro expressions.
Yeah.
How, like,
some of the shot selection is incredible. Like, they obviously are just like, how can we make this?
Yeah.
More
there's a scene
in-depth.
Where, and it's not too much of a spoiler because you literally have to see it to believe it,
yeah,
where it's like they shoot the tennis court from underneath, like, it's imagine like it's glass and you're looking up. It's fucking great. And he's such a horny little man, the Italian director. And there's just so much, there's way more dicks in this movie than I expected. Not from the two leads, for anyone who's excited and interested to know, but just a lot of abs, a lot of sweaty people in this movie.
Yeah
Don't know where I was going with that. I just think it's important to warn people, don't bring
very very well done age appropriation, if that makes sense. I don't know how they made them look that young.
Kind of a big floppy haircut.
Yeah.
And then shaved Josh O'Connor, and then Zendaya is timeless because she is from the Egyptian era.
Give him a beard.
Yeah.
Yeah, Zendaya is a goddess.
But yeah, and I, as I've always said about, I mentioned this on another podcast with Dune, where I just feel like she's always just playing that sort of girlfriend character, and it was nice to see her kind of take charge a bit. I wouldn't say in the whole movie, but definitely some scenes.
Yeah.
There's a scene with her and Josh O'Connor later on in the movie, and she is brilliant in that. Like, if they were looking for, if I don't know,
in the alleyway.
Yeah, so that scene. If they were looking for like the Oscar clip, it's that scene, and it's stuff I've now I haven't seen Euphoria, which obviously she is well awarded and praised for. So I don't know, but from the other movies I've seen her in, this is obviously her meatiest role. Yeah. But I think she does a great job in it, and so good, and hypnotic. Along with the score,
that soundtrack.
That's good. That's you've listened to it since.
No, but come on,
man, I wrote a book.
At times, that was a bit,
David,
of place.
Who are you talking to?
Out of place.
Who are you talking to, David? I love it. I love a banger movie.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like the soundtrack should have maybe progressed with the time period.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Because that would have worked in the 2000s or the early years.
Why?
That was the other thing. I did enjoy the non-linear story.
So,
but does it not kind of take away some of the tension?
No, it's so good. No, because so what the movie kind of like, so the it all builds this sort of last tennis game, but it's broken up by like sets, and it's great because someone wins one set and you think it's going well for one reason, and then you learn more about the backstory, and then you realize, oh shit, this set X set's going to be something different. So I like that it breaks, because it's able to sort of remind us of like the freshness of the sort of the trauma and the different things that have happened in the past, and why it's all leading up to this one, what would appear to be at the beginning of the movie, pointless game.
Phil's Tire Town Challenge.
Because you just think it's this nonsense game.
Yeah.
But so much is riding on
it. It's a game of life, Gary.
Yeah. Everything is life. Except for sex and tennis.
No, it's tennis is sex. And
no, football is life.
Football is life. Anyway, before this gets more deranged.
Yeah, so I had a great time with it. Although someone texted me today to say their friend went to it and said they didn't have a good time.
Would you recommend it to your ma?
Yeah,
Recommend it to your dad?
No, because the only reason why I wouldn't, it didn't come out before the 1970s. And he would watch it, if it just had come out in the 1970s, he wouldn't watch it. But yeah, shall we move on to May, David?
May Day.
It's got to be May.
Let's do it.
Anything? First of all, before I start, what are you looking forward to the most in May, David? Would you want me to get the movies, or would I
go on, throw some out at me?
So, or I just read through them as the way I always do. Yeah. Right. So the first,
I'll stop you when I hear one I like.
wait. what's opening the summer movie season, David? It is The Fall Guy. So fresh.
Oh yeah, that sounds good.
Fresh off an almost career-ending accident, stuntman Colt Severs has to track down a missing movie star, solve a conspiracy, and win back the love of his life while still doing his day job.
Have you heard this? Like, people starting to get on board with a Nice Guys sequel because of the reaction to this.
So I saw Ryan Gosling came out and he was just like, yeah, Angry Birds beat us at the box office that weekend. Yeah. They made Angry Birds 2. They didn't make
Nice Guys 2. Yeah.
So no, they can't make it. Russell Crowe is too busy doing exorcisms all the time.
They can make that a part of the plot.
I would love that. Anyway.
Yeah.
That would be excellent.
We're notorious fans of the Nice Guys.
I don't want to see it at this point. It's too perfect. I don't want to do it. Yeah. Unless they did a crossover with the other Nice Guys. Plot twist, Gandhi's in it. Anyway, moving on. And who's doing? And then you probably think, it's like, wait, what's Gandhi doing in this movie with Will Ferrell, Mark Wahlberg, Russell Crowe, and Ryan Gosling? We stick Kate Blanchett at the beginning and explains the whole thing, David.
You don't need to do any plot points.
No plot points. No. Right, listen. Anyway, The Fall Guy, Emily Blunt. It's directed by David Leitch.
It looks like good fun.
Who did the Deadpool movies. It's got Aaron Taylor-Johnson, potentially the next James Bond. It looks like a fun time.
Doesn't like answering questions on it.
Yeah, I'm relatively excited for it. Love Lies Bleeding is also out the same weekend as well. It's already been out in the States. It's an A24 movie. It's about a reclusive gym manager called Lou who falls hard for Jackie. Played by, one of them is played by Katie O'Brien, the other by, Christian Stewart. Make it, sir. Anyway, an ambitious bodybuilder.
I think Pastor Chew could play a lesbian.
He could do it. He could play a lesbian. You're a very pretty lady. Anyway, what is that? Anyway, an ambitious bodybuilder headed through town to Las Vegas in pursuit of her dream. By their love, but their love ignites violence, pulling them deep into the web of Lou's criminal family. I've heard very good things about this. I don't want to look anything more into it. Yeah. Apparently, Katie O'Brien did such a good job, she got cast in the next Mission Impossible movie, which means Tom Cruise is trying to kill her. Or marry her. Either or.
And both are bad news for Katie O'Brien.
Unfrosted, it is the fictional origin story of the Pop-Tart. It's Jerry Seinfeld's first first time out as a director. It looks fucking atrocious, and I can't Unfrosted.
Pop-Tart.
Yeah, it's like a fake sort of like movie about how Pop-Tarts got made and how it's like a parody of like it's like a parody of that kind in a way, but it looks fucking awful. Now if it's good, well done, Jerry Seinfeld.
You didn't hear from
me. You can add that onto your millions, but it looks so, so bad. We also got... David, this is my most excited movie for the month. It's called Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. I'm not even going to read the description because I don't want to know anything about it. I've avoided every trailer about this. I think a couple of years ago had said to you that one of the biggest drop-offs of a franchise was from Dawn of the Planet of the Apes to War of the Planet of the Apes, and then nobody talked about that franchise for years. Yeah. So I'm so glad it's back. I've seen pictures. Those monkeys look great, David. I'm really looking forward to it.
Andy Serkis is involved in this?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm not even looking at this cast. I've done such a good job. I tell you what. I brought myself down on it. Because I think the director's poo. The poo emoji, played by Patrick Stewart. Can you do a good Patrick Stewart? I can't do a good Patrick Stewart. You're Lurgan. I don't see Andy Serkis' name here. It's directed by Wes Ball, who did The Maze Runner and then The Maze Runner The Scorch Trials.
And what studio is this?
It's Fox. Also he's been tapped to do the new Legend of Zelda movie.
Like, what are Disney putting into this? Like,
I don't know, but I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah,
I want to see some monkeys.
Yeah.
Anyway, what else we got this month? We've got If. It's a movie about imaginary friends, directed by John Krasinski. It's got Ryan Reynolds in it. It's got a load of people in it.
It'll be interesting to see what John Krasinski can do outside of the Quiet Place saga.
This looks awful as well.
Yeah, but like, you're not a child.
Thank you. Speaking of children, the Garfield movie.
Pooh.
Yeah. Furiosa, Mad Max saga.
This. Now, look, George Miller could prove me wrong. But for some reason, this movie just looks like a fan made it.
Yeah.
A fan made film of Furiosa.
Mm.
It looks way too clean. I don't know what it is.
It just looks too shiny.
Shiny, yeah.
It's like Nicholas Hoult has sprayed this movie on his face.
Yeah.
And he says, "What a lovely day." And you're like, that's a shiny movie on his face.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. Now, I don't know. I feel like that we would have heard if it was good or not by now, no?
Did it not premiere? Did it do any cinema?
I think there wasn't a festival, was it?
I think it's going to be bad. That's my hot take.
I think they would have had some sort of like Twitter reactions by now if it was like, if they really backed it. Like, they would have had Spielberg coming out and being like, it's magnificent.
Yeah, they just go, "Hey Spielberg, what do you think about this?" And he goes, "I love it, it's great." And then everyone goes, "See you." They're like, "Spielberg lied." And then they're like, "But he might do E.T. too." You're like, "I love Spielberg." Yeah, I also think it's really fucking shitty that Charlize Theron did such a good job of establishing that character, and they were like, "Nah, we're gonna do a prequel and cast Anya Taylor-Joy." I just think you should have given her another crack at it. I know she's getting on, but
Chrissy Hemsworth, his stock is plummeting.
Why is that?
It just is.
Why?
Thor.
Okay, what else?
What's that Netflix movie he
Extraction
does?
They're making another one, I feel.
Yeah, but like,
yeah,
if you're stuck on Netflix,
I just feel like what's the best performance you've seen him do?
Wait, what's that other movie he's in? He's in a movie, Transformers.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
in the next Transformers movie.
Did you watch the trailer for that?
No.
No, I look bad.
Yeah.
Anyway. I just don't think he's... I just think he needs to do
something. You have a hot take that they've shown the last scene of the movie in the
trailer. Yeah, I have a hot take. Here we go. I have a hot take. There's a scene where like Furiosa, like Chris Hemsworth is looking up a Furiosa, and I think that's like close to the end of the movie because she's in full Furiosa garb. I reckon that's towards the end.
Probably.
So don't watch the movie because I'll ruin it.
I don't know. Like, George Miller. I back him.
Yeah, like he did Happy Feet 2. He also did a movie called The Witches of Eastwick.
Yeah.
Oh, fucking weird movie.
Yeah.
Jack Nicholson plays the devil. It's great for that. Because when you watch it, this one's already going on long enough. You watch it and you're like, he's not acting, is he? He thinks he's the devil and he's riding women as the devil. So weird.
Hero.
It's so weird. I'd recommend it. Like, if it's on like any streaming service anytime soon, just watch it because it's bonkers.
Oh, I'll just watch this.
He's great. We got two more movies, David. We got a movie called Hitman with Glenn Powell in it.
It's this looks class.
Interesting. I think it looks garbage.
Really?
Yeah. I don't. Richard Linklater.
Hate Linklater.
Exactly. And Glenn Powell.
Boyhood is leaving Amazon Prime soon.
Boyhood.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody got framed in one. Boyhood, fair play then. Like, look, the little kid has the t-shirt as he does with the poster. But fair play to that person who gets framed in one. Anyway, moving on. Hitman, Glenn Hapell. He's got a very punchable face, David. That's my problem with him. And I didn't like him in Anyone But You.
He's doing another movie about planes.
Hey, if it ain't broke.
No. Go on, yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Look, I think this got sold to Netflix for a lot of money or something.
I feel like this movie came out last year.
It was on a circuit or something, festival last year or something.
It just must have got bought and released date.
So anyway. Yeah, it looks like I think there's a lot of people who would have a fun time with this. So definitely put it on the radar. Yeah. And the last one here, it seems to be a movie about the frontman of the Police and his biopic. Sting? Oh, it's about a spider. Sorry, I do forgive me. This looks fucked. It's this. I just put this in here for the joke. Oh, the Police. I probably should have wrote something funnier, but again, I didn't think we were doing this today.
It looks very spooky.
It looks really spooky. It's about a spider that keeps getting bigger. Gross.
Why does it keep getting bigger?
I don't know. Steroids.
It's juicing.
It's juicing with Hulk Hogan. Hey, brother.
The juice is loose.
Anyway, that's it. That's me.
I'm looking for it.
That's a good month. There's definitely one, if not two. I know I said I thought all of those were balls. Yeah. Look, nah. There's like two.
You also went all in on War of the Planet of the Apes and talked yourself around on it. Yeah. You're like, nah, this can't be good.
It could be bad though. Nah, look. One of those surely's good. Yeah. One of those surely good. Smash cut.
They were all bad. Gary just watched Challengers again.
It was our worst month ever.
But yeah, that's the podcast, eh?
Good fun.
Very good fun as always, Mrs. Davis Cancel. Thank you very much for coming and doing it on a Monday, no less. Will I edit this today? Who knows?
Probably not.
There you go. Right, thank you to the listener as well. And if you want to keep up to date with the podcast, you can follow at Really the Peers on Instagram. There's also the TikTok, the YouTube, and Letterboxd. All the links are in the description. You can also email reallythepeers@gmail.com. Subscribe and follow for more episodes on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Give us 5 stars or else, David.
We'll get you.
To end the podcast, a word from Kate Blanchett. Crocky, what a podcast, eh? Wait, is there an epilogue in Lord of the Rings? Who does that? Is it Frodo?
No.
Or is it Bilbo? Sam. What's that go like?
And that was the end of Frodo's time in Middle Earth or some shit like that.
I thought you liked
Lord of the Rings. I literally watched it a few days ago. Okay. But Gary, I've also watched 30 other movies.
You've watched so many movies, David. But you know what none of them have been? That Gandhi action movie. Quick, what director?
M. Night Shyamalan.